Welcome to Taiwan Report, news and analysis from Taiwan. I'm Donovan Smith. Up on today's show, we've got the Han recall petition, potential changes in the legislative and executive yuans, trouble in the KMT, the U.S. may be targeting TSMC, Taiwan hits back at Italy, the PRC threatens Czech companies over Taiwan, and pay rises last year paint a slightly brighter future going forward. Kicking off, looking at the Taipei Times here, more than 450,000 signatures have been collected for the second phase petition of a campaign to recall Kaohsiung Mayor Han Kuo-yu, with that number expected to surpass 500,000 by the middle of next month, according to organizers. Now, that's important because they only need about 228,000 signatures in Kaohsiung's case to initiate the final recall. Now, if you have the final recall election, you'll need at least 580,000 votes, or one-fourth of the eligible voters in Kaohsiung in that final stage to actually oust him. That will, of course, lead to a recall election itself. Now, if they can, when they submit their applications to the Central Election Commission, and if they already have over 500,000 signatures, that suggests that they may have a very strong chance of success. Legislative and executive yuan changes may be on the way. Now, again, here from the Taipei Times, the Citizen Congress Watch yesterday met with Legislative Speaker Yoshi Kwon to push for increased transparency and professionalism in the legislative yuan, the legislative watchdog said. Yo said the legislature could consider developing an improved version of the Parliament Broadcast IVOD service, which provides live broadcasts of legislative sessions, as well as archived recordings of past sessions. Now, the broadcast service up to now has been watched by more than 200 million viewers and has been very helpful for Taiwanese living abroad, according to Wu, who's a spokesman. Now, that is a very useful thing to have. They're looking at possibly more content there. But the thing that really jumped out at me was this. Asked whether he would improve or he could improve the legislature or its public image during his time in office, Yeo said he would continue to build on the foundation of reform that his predecessor, Su Jiachuan, started to promote when he was in office. Now, this is true. Su Jiachuan, when he came into office, he turned the position to a much more neutral one, which in the past, it had been a position occupied by, for many years, Wang Jinping, who was essentially a wheeler-dealer, a backroom kind of guy who made sure that things got done. And so he was very, very good at brokering deals between the different legislative caucuses. Now, Su Jiachuan instead eschewed this kind of deal-making prowess to be a little bit more neutral. And there's some theories that that may have cost him his job. He was not put on the party list vote in the last election. And so he's lost his job. He's no longer a legislator. And the reason that the theory that I've heard is that because he wasn't a big wheeler dealer behind the scenes kind of person, that meant that he didn't actually accrue much power. He didn't have a lot of people owing him favors and so on and so forth. So it looks like Yoshi Kwon here is at least saying that he's going to follow in the footsteps of Su Jiachuan, but that may not have worked very well for Su. Let's move on. For changes here coming up potentially as well in the legislative and executive yuans, specifically here we're looking at the executive yuan. Now this is again another Taipei Times article here on the voting age legislation, which I'll talk about in a sec. Now asked, this is an interview with the deputy legislative speaker Tsai Chi-chang from Taichung. Now, he was asked on Coco Jie, or Clara Cho's radio show, he was asked whether he thought Premier Su Zhenzhang would be replaced after President Tsai Ing-wen is sworn in on May 20th for a second term. Now, the deputy speaker said that was unlikely, according here to the Taipei Times. Quote, the public largely supports Premier Su Zhenzhang, including those who do not generally support the DPP, he said. Speculation that he would be replaced by former Premier Su Jiachuan is not likely to come true given his good performance. So, Now, Su Jiaqian here is being mooted as a potential premier. Now, he was previously served in some posts. He's been in the cabinet before. He was a legislative speaker, as we just talked about. He was also a Pingdong County commissioner. I personally met him briefly when he was running for Taichung mayor, and he barely lost to then Taichung mayor Jason Hu in, let's see, that would have been 2012 or so, 2010. So now he was also asked here, this is again Deputy Speaker Tsai, asked about reports that Chinese language media that Presidential Office Secretary General and ex Kaohsiung Mayor Chen Zhu would be appointed as Control Yuan President. Tsai said, quote, reasonable conclusion by the media, as the Examination Yuan and the Control Yuan would have openings. Responding to Cho's remark that being appointed Control Yuan President would give Chen Zhu nothing to do, Tsai said that was not true, as a portion of the legislature's procedures has to pass through the Control Yuan, and until a constitutional amendment changing the Control Yuan's functions is passed, the agency would continue to play a role. Now, the Taiwan government has a five branches of government. The Control Yuan is meant there as a kind of control or check on the rest of the government, checking it for things like corruption, that sort of thing. And they can initiate investigations and they can impeach people. However, it's been highly partisan in the past, with individual members often undertaking what appears to be personally or politically motivated investigations at times. So there is talk of removing that and the Examination Yuan, which is in charge of applying the tests that bring in new government officials. It's meant to help make the government more technocratic. Now, what this article was originally about is that lawmakers are likely to pass a proposal to lower the voting age to 18, despite the high threshold required to amend the Constitution. This is what Deputy Legislative Speaker said yesterday. Now, right now, the DPP has long supported this. However, they need to get the Constitution changed. So they would need the help of the KMT and possibly other parties. Now, the KMT has recently come out in favor of lowering the voter age to 18, which means that there's a very good chance that this may pass if they continue to support it. The TPP, Ke Wen-je's new party, and the NPP also support it. So at this point, there seems to be almost no opposition in the legislature for this to happen. Sorry, legislature. Now, so this is a good sign for passing this and getting it done. The mystery here is, why is the KMT supporting it? They have very little youth support, which we're going to get to some more in a minute, and this could possibly hurt them in the polls. So, however, the party is talking about reforming and doing what they can to attract younger voters. So that may be the motivation behind that. Now, the KMT has been having some internal discord over several issues. Right now, we've got Johnny Chang, or Jiang Jicheng, and Hao Longbin are the two main candidates, Hao Longbin being the former Taipei mayor, and Johnny Chang is a fairly popular legislator from the Fengyuan district area of Taichung. Now, what's happened here, one of the recent conflicts that has been going on in the party is over bringing in Fu Kunxi, who's an independent legislator who was recently elected in Hualien. Now, this Hualien this Hualien election, the KMT had a formal candidate. And the reason why Fu Kunxi was kicked out is because he has been, as it's noted here in the Taipei Times, Fu has been involved in several instances of insider trading dating back to before 2000. He served time in prison. The Hualien District Prosecutor's Office charged him with tax evasion as recently as October 27th. And, adding fuel to the fire here, Hualien officials here, this is Focus Taiwan, a series of his officials have just been punished for buying media exposure for him when he was the Hualien County Magistrate. So essentially, this guy is a factional Paul. He's an old school factional Paul. And during the Ma administration, they wanted to clean up the image of the KMT. So they kicked him out. However, the party right now has 38 seats in the legislature. And he was elected as an independent, beating both the DPP candidate and the KMT's official candidate. But he's pan-blue. He was in the KMT before, and he wants to rejoin the party. So a lot of people are saying, let's do it. Let's bring him back in. And that means that our legislative caucus is back up to 39. Some major figures, including some major Ma officials, have come out and said, though, this is a bad idea. Basically, because this guy is fairly known for his jail time, to put it mildly. So this is something that's sort of going on in the party. Now, the Central Standing Committee actually has approved this, but some are calling for them to wait until the new Central Standing Committee is elected and then make a decision then and when they have a new KMT chair. However, Hao Longbin, and this is here in, this is a Central News Agency report in the Chinese media, Hao Longbin, who's running for the KMT chair, he supports Fu Quanxi to return to the party. So there's that. Now, in this article here, which I found here on Yahoo News, there was something I found kind of interesting in the report. Now, he talks a bit about how he supports Han Guoyu, and Han Guoyu is the pride of the party, and this sort of thing, which is interesting. And he thinks that the KMT should concentrate on helping him beat the recall vote that seems to be pretty much now a lock to happen. But he also talked about Terry Goh, Goh Taiming, and here's what he had to say. And let's see if I can find this quote. Now, during the 2020 KMT election, where there was a lot of splits, Terry Goh was originally a candidate, and he dropped out of the race of the KMT primary, left the party because at the time Wu Duanyi had been changing the rules. He's the KMT chairman at that time, to favor Han Guoyu, who became the eventual candidate. Now, he was looking at becoming an independent candidate, and he, in the end, he waited right up into the deadline, and when almost everybody seemed to think he was going to run, and then he backed out. Now, Hao Longbin had a whole series of private conversations with him. In this article, he talks about how he did not encourage him to run in the first place, and he did not give him the honorary membership to bring him back into the KMT to run. None of that, but he notes here that he spent a lot of time talking to Terry Goh, and that he was hoping that he would not make an independent run, which he may have been the one who succeeded in convincing him, we don't know, but also to get him to support Han Guoyu, which he failed. Now, the other KMT candidate, Johnny Chang, he brought up something here, and this is a new talk. Again, it's a Chinese language media report. The number of people who support the KMT, the percentage of, I should say, KMT members who are under 40, he points out it's 3.16% of KMT party members are under 40. And his comment is, it's no wonder that the party is becoming an older party. Now, he also goes on to note that nationally, the percentage of voters who are under 40 is 34%. So obviously, this is a major problem for the party. Now, Johnny Chang is the younger candidate. He's about 47 years old, and so he's campaigning on being the candidate of change, and he's the one who wants to make the party more friendly to younger voters. Hao Longbin is saying something similar, but he's 67, I believe his age is, and he's also talking about that. But he's also talking about how he wants to bring in people of according to their ability. So he seems to be less pushing on the youth vote side. He's also made some comments along the lines that we don't want to offend or lose our current base. Now, very quickly, this is just a proposal, so we're moving on to this is Reuters. U.S. mulls cutting Huawei off from global chip suppliers with TSMC in crosshairs. Reading from Reuters, the Trump administration is considering changing U.S. regulations to allow it to block shipments of chips to Huawei technologies from companies such as Taiwan's TSMC, the world's largest contract chip maker, two sources familiar with the matter said. New negotiations on commerce with China's Huawei are among several options to be considered at high-level U.S. meetings this week and next. The chip proposal has been drafted, but its approval is far from certain, one of the sources said. Now, this would be a major blow to TSMC, who I read a figure the other day that they get something like 10% of their business from Huawei. Huawei is a major telecommunications and cell phone maker, but the U.S. Is pretty well, they believe for sure that Huawei has backdoors in their software and in their hardware in the hardware, which could allow them to get access to whatever data passes through their equipment. So the U.S. is trying to get their allies' governments to not use Huawei equipment, phones, and they're also banning it in government use in the U.S. We'll talk about this more if it's through. Now, this is a Focus Taiwan report. Taiwan adds Italian pork to list of banned meat products. Taiwan will prohibit the importation of live pigs and pork products from Italy starting Thursday. Quote, after conducting a rolling assessment of the international outbreak of African swine fever, the BAPHIQ has concluded that the ASF epidemic in the Italian island of Sardinia is escalating. And they want to remove Italy from the list of ASF-free countries. Now, the reason for this, and as it here notes in the article, the ban came as a surprise as Italy had not been in the World Organization for Animal Health's list of countries and territories with new or ongoing ASF outbreaks over the past 2 months. Now, the real reason for this is that there's a handful of countries, about four or five, who have accepted the WHO's decision to use China's definition of what is China, which includes China, Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan. They categorize Taiwan as being in the high-risk China area, and so some countries have banned flights in and out of Taiwan as a result. Italy's the only major European country that's done this. So this seems to be retribution for that. Very briefly, to wrap up, the average monthly take-home pay rose 2.7% in December last year, while total pay grew 7.01%. Now, after adjustments for inflation, real average take-home pay gained 1.6.9% to a 16-year high, while total average compensations rose 1.84%. Now, this is important because the last two or three years, the salaries have been rising under the Tsai administration, but not by huge amounts. This is definitely not a boom. But this is laying a fairly good groundwork for the Tsai administration politically going into the next elections in 2022. Things look good right now. A lot of companies are bringing their manufacturing base back from other countries into Taiwan, which is expected to increase more the salaries and more jobs. And before I go, here's an interesting article you might want to read. It's on Taiwan Business Topics, End of One Era, Start of Another by Timothy Ferry. And it's all about the decommissioning of Taiwan's nuclear sector. I found it quite interesting. I'd like to remind everyone that I'll be on ICRT's Taiwan This Week tomorrow evening, so be sure to tune in. You can also tune in on icrt.com.tw and on the podcast. Be sure to tune in for more of Taiwan Report and, of course, our other program and our flagship, Current Affairs Taiwan. You can find all of our stuff on report.tw. Until next time.
This has been brought to you by the Taiwan Report. For more content like this, become our patron at report.tw.
哎呦，就是那个台湾狗啦，最喜欢我的台湾狗了。